Hey guys, welcome back to the Why Wars Happen History podcast, where you learn about the causes of wars and things like, why did it happen? Was it inevitable? Who was involved? Sometimes I go back hundreds of years just so we can understand what the hell happened. And if you want to talk more about war, we also have authors, historians, war generals, royalty, actors, filmmakers, a whole bunch of people come on as guests, and we talk about everything about war before, during, and after war. So let's go. Welcome to the Why Wars Happen History podcast, where we tell the story of the politics and events that happen behind history's biggest wars. And we also chat with filmmakers, authors, and historians about war, or about comedy about war, which is what we're doing today. So today we're sitting down with producer, writer, showrunner, all-around hilarious creator, Sarah Peters. Sarah, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I'm very excited to have you. I watched the whole thing probably in like one day. I was like literally crying laughing about this. So we're talking about Making History. It's a TV series that is a time traveling from the 21st century to the 18th century, right before the American Revolution. And it's a comedy. It's a time travel story. It's kind of a love story, kind of a buddy story. Can you tell us just a little bit
about it? It has something for everyone. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you described it perfectly. It was like one of those shows that, you know, has a high concept to it being time travel, but is also just very silly in a way that to me makes it more grounded, you know, because you have the kind of like silliness of real life and of real modern attitudes juxtaposed with, of course, the American Revolution. So, yes.
And remember to like and subscribe, or the allies get it.
Yeah, so without giving too much away, it basically, there's a guy who doesn't know that much about history that time travels to right before Paul Revere's ride, and he does something that makes it not happen. And so now he has to bring his professor buddy from the present into the past to try to fix it. And it's just hilarious all the way around.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. And I love how you guys just launched right into there without the whole, like, how does this time machine work? How did he get, like, you don't need any of that for the story. And it just works. I love how you launched right into it.
That's right.
Can I ask, is beautiful location, where was that filmed?
It was, I wasn't a part of shooting the pilot. The creator, Julia Sharp, made the pilot and produced that, and that all happened before the writing staff joined. That was filmed like in the Boston area, I believe.
God, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Like in the woods, and yeah, super, super cool. Okay. I have to ask, what's with the ham? Where did that come from?
You know, it's just one of those things. It's like there's so many things that happen in a writer's room that just make each other laugh, or just things from life that are just so silly, and you get addicted to bringing them up over and over again, and then it just makes its way all the way in, and it's just so funny. I think it's just something like that. It was just kind of like, wouldn't it be funny if we actually did this? And
it was really funny. At first you're like, what? And then you're like, oh yeah, I can roll with this. I'm rocking this idea.
Yeah, but like off what you were saying, I think like, you know, time travel in science fiction can be so tricky. And I think we did have a physicist come and talk to us and explain things a little bit. But it was like, at the end of the day, it's more like the rules can be whatever as long as you follow them. You
okay,
know,
right.
Like you can make your own, like time travel can look different ways, I think. And none of us was a major nerd in terms of that. And we tried to educate ourselves. And then it was like, well, I don't know.
Honestly, if you watch, you know, The Flash, which I love,
yes,
but like it eventually gets to the point where you're like, you know, I'm just going to have to take it all on faith and like that this is part of what's going on, like even if it's not super scientific. Like,
yes, because it doesn't really exist.
So. Yeah. You can just go with it.
Or maybe
this show, it's funny because I was trying to talk to my husband about it. I was like, you have to watch it with me. And he's like, okay, the trailer's really funny, but is it going to hold up throughout the whole thing? And I was really surprised it did. The whole thing, it felt like, you know, when you're watching Family Guy and you're like, how do they not get not funny? How does it keep being funny throughout the whole thing all the time? And that's what this show does. It, and I have to ask, the Celine Dion thing, was that?
Oh my God. Like, oh, you mean Cher?
Or okay. There's the near far, and then show me the money. Like all of these things, using things from the present to impress people from the past. How did that come about?
I guess it's like, again, it's like one of those just silly things that is ultimately very grounded when you think about what a person like Dan would do in that situation. Someone who feels like, you know, things aren't going his way. He's a little bit an outsider, but it's a little bit his own problem. So it's like, instead of actually fixing what he might need to emotionally, he'll just take a shortcut and get a little attention with the limited resources he has. So
I think we've all like fantasized about, if we go into the past, I would totally, you know, write Green Day songs or Beatles songs.
Yes.
Or like, everybody kind of thinks that at some point. So
or like,
that seemed
stock cool. Or, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I felt seen during that. Like, that's me. That's yeah. I would do that. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I love that about the show, that he has this kind of innocent, this losery, dorky innocence that is so silly, but ultimately so relatable. Yeah.
Totally. Totally. He pulled that off very well. In the writer's room, were you guys just like throwing stuff out there? Like, this is really funny and this is really funny.
Yeah, I mean, we did initially. And again, this is like to Julia Sharp, who's the creator and also was a Family Guy writer. So maybe that has something to do with your theory. But, you know, he assembled a really dynamic group of writers and we really gelled. And I think it felt like a safe place to bring up kind of wacky ideas and things and just sort of see what sticks. So we did just talk about a lot of historical events that would be funny to include in the show at first, just as a jumping off point. And then, you know, we decided to make things really serialized and always be like character driven, of course, with the twists and turns along the way. But we did have more episodes planned. So it a little bit became, I think we initially planned for 12 episodes and then it got shortened to 9, which I didn't know could happen, but I guess anything could happen.
I've learned. Interesting.
So it was like, you know, the second half of the season, we did have to make kind of like more adjustments on the fly in terms of, you know, kind of wrapping things up more. And that eliminated a lot of the kind of like more fun one-off things and kept it to be more about like the American Revolution figures, like the, you know, Hancock and Adams coming back and forth. And again, I mean, that was like a testament to the cast as well, that it was just so amazing. And you have people like Casey.
It's a funny storyline when you guys shifted to that. I was not expecting the story to go that way. And I was just there for it. I was like,
we weren't either. I mean,
train.
They were just so funny. Like everything they did was so funny. And, you know, it was one of those situations too, where like the cast and the writers like all really got along and it really felt like teamwork. And then we had this director, Jared Hess, who did a few of the episodes, who is just so amazing and collaborative as well, that you know, it was a really nice and very rare experience with that dynamic. Yeah.
Yeah. They pulled it off very... Don't be nasty, Chris.
Don't be nasty. Nasty is so funny. Yeah.
Oh my God. That is, I'm like literally like tearing up crying a little bit. Remember how funny that was? Was the filming delayed a little bit by everybody just breaking down laughing all the time? Or how did that go?
We had a good time. I think like it was pretty, you know, people know how to lock in. You've got pros there, like, you know, Adam Pally and Leighton Meester, who are just so so good and so professional and able to kind of like lock in. But I laughed so much at that job, at every step of the process. Just
I can imagine.
Yeah.
It was. What was the most ridiculous thing that kind of got thrown out there that maybe didn't make it into the show?
Man, that is so, it's hard for me to remember. I mean, one of the things that I can't believe actually did go in that we were just laughing about so much is like, or wait, did it go in? The Hancock and Adams on the hoverboards, that happened, right?
Yes, yes, it did. Okay, that was ridiculous. I loved it.
And it did make sense. So I think that was probably one of the craziest things. And it was just like, well, I don't know. Costumes are so funny. Like, when you just have those guys just doing their thing. And I don't know. I'm dumb. I like just the contrast of a hoverboard and a, you know, revolutionary full outfit on. So
and the homeless bit, like begging for money because you can't really make it in the 21st century.
Oh,
that was very ridiculous and funny. I can't get that image out of my head.
I know. Oh my God. I should have rewatched these before this. I'm like, oh yeah, this show was amazing.
It was so funny. I was dying. My husband didn't end up watching the whole thing with me, but there was a lot of times where I was like, I have to show you this really funny part. And yeah. I'd like pull him aside and be like, look, you have to watch this. And like, it's just like, I loved it. Was there a lot of ad-libbing or like, was it pretty just forward?
Yeah, there's always ad-libbing when, you know, you have a lot of the cast was really good improvisers. But, you know, we also, as on a lot of shows, you have writers on set who help kind of throw ideas in and things like that. So it always shapes up a little differently when you're filming. So great when actors can bring that to the table as well. And we definitely have that.
Great, great cast.
Yeah.
How did you, I have to ask, like, this is just such a concept with the American Revolution and it's hilarious, but it's really serious. And how did you guys manage to decide like, okay, we're going to emphasize this part or we're going to exaggerate this part in a comedy? Like, was that really hard?
No, it was super easy. You know, it's like we had a really, you know, Julius Sharp, he goes by Goldie. He was the showrunner and creator, and he just had such a clear vision, and the script for the pilot was just such a, he just really hit this tone so well, and that everyone was able to lock into that, I think, is really a testament, not just to his writing, but his like leadership as well, that he was able to, you know, have a group of people all interact with like this really specific tone.
It meshed really well.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. So I don't know if you know about the like the back end part of it a little bit, but I have my own experience. I do producing and screenwriting also. And so I have to ask, period pieces are so notoriously difficult to get funding for, to get greenlit. And everyone's like, I'm not touching this. Even if you have like incredible cast attached to it. How was this really hard to get greenlit because of the period piece aspect of it?
Gosh, I don't know. I remember because I wasn't involved at that point. Like they had already had the pilot and greenlit it and everything. But it was like the hot pilot that year, like for network shows. Like it was like, ooh, making history. You getting a meeting for that? Or, you know, like it was already, it had some cred behind it because like the pilot itself just turned out so good.
Yeah. So
Like it just all came together in the pilot. Which they filmed before green lighting it, I guess. And it was like,
it's so different.
It's there. Yeah.
It's not just like another series about Samuel Adams or something. Like it's so different. So, okay. Okay. If you're pitching this, what would you say? It's what meets what? It's hard to describe. It's like,
I mean, Family Guy is a little bit the style of the humor, right? But it also have this kind of like 90s nostalgic thing, like with the credits and the, you know, like the style of the trailer and things like that had a little bit.
And for those of you out there that like 90s nostalgia, there is a 90s nostalgia episode.
Oh, yeah, so. There is that, too. Yeah. But I think like there was a reference of, I forget what kind of, there was like some car commercial from the 90s, like some silly commercial that was used as a reference when they were making the title sequences. And I think it like had it like a little bit captured the spirit of the show. It was one of those like minivan commercials that's
Okay, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling that.
I don't remember what it was, but I think it has the innocence of kind of like almost a pre-digital age that feels kind of 90s to it. Yes. Right?
Cozy.
Yeah, it is cozy. Mm-hmm. It's a great time of year to watch the show again. Yes.
It is. I don't know what Thanksgiving and fall, like that whole era is like American Revolution.
Yeah, you want like a period time. Piece.
Yeah, totally, totally. Did you guys like bring in a historian or were you just like, we're gonna...
No.
We know enough.
We Googled things.
Good old Google, yeah. Okay. Did you find that people... like history buffs were kind of like, this is cool, or were people kind of disgruntled like, this is a desecration of
they were making history founders. Too funny.
Don't do that.
Not about how funny it was. They didn't come to me if they were.
That's good.
I don't know, you know, get doxxed or anything for being a part of this. Not that I know of.
Well, yeah. Well, for those of you again listening, our season one of the narrative side of our podcast is all about the American Revolution, and we love the American Revolution and our founding fathers. And so, that said, you'll love this show. It's really funny and it's not offensive. So, I don't think
it's
so,
not.
At least.
I mean, there's like poop jokes. I don't know. It's like very like it's like between PG and PG-13 even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like just at that age where my 12-year-old might like it. Like,
yeah, you know? Maybe.
Yeah.
Feel subversive to them and a little dangerous. But yeah, there's not going to be any like job jokes or anything.
No. So you yourself have a background in comedy.
Yes.
Right. You worked on Ghosted, Master of None, and you're also doing Harley Quinn. You're the showrunner for Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Okay. So what? How did you do all this comedy? So how did you get into that?
How did I get into it? Just by being such a bitch. Like, just being so annoying and ambitious and just clawing my way up the pile of men to, you know, the position I'm in now. But no, I mean, I started out as like a PA on American Dad. I would like deliver the scripts and get lunch and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not really a performer. Even being on a podcast like makes me nervous because I'm it's good. It's good practice for me. I need to like push those like edges or whatever. But I you know, studied screenwriting in college and just came out like a total psycho to LA and just believed I was better than everyone else and just
you
kept people until they gave me opportunities. And then when I got those opportunities, I took advantage. So, yeah, just by being like truly annoying.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I mean, I don't know. It's the truth. Like, it's just one of those things where you're like, there's no path. I was, you know, I guess you could say I went like the assistant route or whatever, but I don't know if that even exists anymore. Since COVID and the strike and all of that, I don't know what my path would be now.
And now that everything's virtual, it's kind of like you're at home, you have your own lunch and you have your own coffee and you have your own, like,
you're not like walking to the car with someone that you don't know that well and breaking the ice. It's like, mm-hmm. There aren't those little like downbeat moments that really help a group gel.
Yeah. Well, and at the same time, now you don't have to be in LA to be a writer. So that's pretty cool, I think.
Yes.
Because LA has gotten crazy over the last 10 years. And so that's really nice for people, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Yes. A silver lining.
Yeah, silver lining for sure. And so I wanted to ask, is this different now that you're doing show running? And it's a little bit more of a not so wackadoo kind of comedy that you're working on right now. And so how different of an experience is that going from one to the other?
Gosh, I mean, you've mentioned, you know, several shows I've written on, and I think I've written on something like 10 first season shows as well. So I've done comedy in basically all different subgenres. Like I've done more romantic comedy, like Master of None, or, you know, more high concept things like Ghosted and this. And then even, yeah, going into Harley, which is, you know, has, that's a show with a lot of, you know, a fan base that really expects certain things and, you know, being like DC canon and all of that. There are different expectations and more kind of like external perspectives to include. But for me, like, I'm not even a comic book nerd at all, you know? So I know, sorry, everybody. But we had that point of view represented by many other people involved. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just honest about what I bring to the table. And it's, and it wasn't that, although Batman Returns is my favorite movie. Speaking of this time of year, it's an amazing Christmas movie.
Yeah, actually.
High recommend for everyone. But yeah, I think I always come to any project from a character perspective and just locking into the voice and the point of view of, you know, the creator, the showrunner, and the characters. And there's always something that I can lock into and bring myself to. And it always starts there for me. So, you know, a show like Harley, for example, like I just got inside, you know, Harley and Poison Ivy's mindset, and what is funny and ironic about the situations they put themselves into. And it ended up being probably the most personal writing I've ever done on that show. Just by the nature of it having two female leads, I think, which I haven't done much of before.
Yeah, that is kind of rare.
Yeah.
And I've seen your name a lot on Reddit, and I saw that you did an AMA for yes. Harley Quinn, and everybody loves what you're doing with the show. So
thank you.
If you feel pressure, just feel a little relieved by that.
Thank you so much. I'm not actually involved in season 5, which is coming out soon. But yeah, but I ran season 4 and I was on season 2 and 3 as well. So yes, it's a big part of my career, and I love being a part of that show. But I was ready to move on after season 4.
And you did an AMA on Reddit.
Yes.
And that is more terrifying to me than anything.
I know. I was scared, but people are so nice. People really, the fans that we have on the show are just like, are so amazing. And the questions were really thoughtful. And yeah, I loved it, actually, interacting with them there. Yeah.
Oh, well,
it was
awesome.
Scary,
yeah,
though. Because yeah. I didn't know Reddit. I had to like create a Reddit account. You know, I'm like, I don't know. It's just all sort of foreign to me. But it was really cool. And it's really cool to see a positive response to something that felt, you know, like I said, personal. And then also at the same time, like, we did the writer's room all on Zoom, like it all aired during the writer's strike. So I didn't get to do any press, and all the writers, you know, from season 4 didn't really have that experience of like being out there and getting kind of like the attention and the acclaim and interacting. So I was really excited about any opportunity to talk about it and talk about the work of, I mean, that was an amazing group of writers, season 4 of Harley.
Yeah, it's pretty popular. And again, you're very brave for going on to Reddit.
Thank you.
And before we go, I wanted to ask you, what can we expect from you in the future? Are you working on anything now?
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm developing a few things. I'm actually adapting the graphic novels Tank Girl. Oh my gosh. Yay. I started on it this week. So I've just started thinking about like the pilot, and I'm really excited about that. And I'm taking
it to be
a big swing. It's animated, and it's going to be, concept is like kind of out there. So I'm excited to see how it's received by everyone. But
so excited.
Yeah. It's a challenge of taking that kind of character that's so emblematic of the time period where it was created, and like bringing, like, how do you, you know, that punk attitude and everything, like, apply it to what's going on today, but also futuristic. Yeah, there's a lot of layers there.
Yeah, you're like going into the past, time travel,
it's future as well. Yeah. So
that is fantastic.
Yeah.
So maybe a year from now we might hear something about that.
I don't know. I don't know how these things work. It's all a black box to me, the business side. I'm just like, I'm Google Docs open and I send emails and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is it can only go up from here. It's a little dismal right now, but I think
it is. We need Tank Girl. Yeah. To save us.
But Tank Girl's awesome. Who doesn't love Tank Girl? So I think you got something going for you there. So,
yeah, totally. Yeah. And then I have other projects as well, but that's the one that's kind of at the top of the list right now. And
very cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I'm very happy that I got to talk to you about this series, and happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you. This is great.
Yeah. All right. Bye.